And both of those books are some of my favorite reading and studying, and I've preached a lot out of both of those books. The book of Ruth this morning will be in chapter number 1, and going to be dealing with a very, very important subject. And you can title it a number of different things, but I put a title, Ruin and Return. To be ruined and then to return back to where you came from. Back in, in the late 80s, I think it was, I preached a message, and I think I preached it on WSOF years and years ago, and I know I've preached it here. But there are many places in the Scripture that depict where people go when they get out of the will of God. And I preached on the subject of where will you go when you hear that bread is where you were. And this is exactly what happened to this couple that we're going to deal with and look at this morning. And they ended up going to Moab. Now, Moab is not a place for a Jew to be. Moab was a very wicked place. It was a Gentile nation. They're called Moabites, and they've never been friends to the people of God. And we'll look at the first part of the chapter in a moment, and we'll notice what takes place. And every time that a child of God gets out of the will of God, they leave and lose something while they're gone. And this family left and lost a whole lot. And anytime we get out of God's will, we're the loser. You're not going to be the winner when you're out of the perfect will of God. And we call it in our Baptist circles and what the Bible calls backsliding. Now, backsliding does not mean you lose your salvation, but it means you go back from where you were or ought to be back, and you're doing some things that should not be done and has some effect in our life. And so backsliding is a going away from God. And there's not an individual in here this morning that has not backslid. Every one of us fall back from where we ought to be. We do not maintain a level of spirituality that maybe we should, or maybe, and I think that we could, because of the flesh that we live in and the physical world that's around us, sometimes we get our eyes off of the Lord, and when we do that, we have a problem. And this book of Ruth gives you a story of a family that got out of the will of God, and they suffered the consequences that were so tragic. I want us to read this morning verse number 20 and verse number 21. Naomi has come back and has returned to Bethlehem. And when she gets there, they are shocked at how she looks. 10 years has made a big difference in her life. And we'll get some information on that here in just a moment. But verse number 20, and she said, with this is Naomi, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Here are the words, I believe, of a broken lady. These are the words of a lady that has gone the route of being away from God, suffering the consequences of it, and coming back. And she says, I've come back home. And she really relates that she should have never left there. And so they say, is this Naomi? And the word Naomi means pleasant, means joyful, means sweet. She said, why call ye me joyful or sweet when God hath dealt with me very bitterly. Just call me Myra. The word Myra means bitter. And she said, God has testified against me, and God has afflicted me. And so when we get to this first chapter of Ruth, really the entire book, there is so many things that relate to a personal walk with God that is so very important. If I was going to divide, or if I was going to make a series on the book of Ruth, I thought of these words this morning before I ever got out of bed. I was thinking about the message, and these thoughts came to my heart. And so I went back into the computer and added this in here this morning. Ruth can be divided into a number of different divisions. Much of it is found in verse or chapter number 1. You see the rebellion of a family. You see the running away from their country. You see their ruin. You see their return. You see her repentance. I have a little hard time knowing exactly when she really repented to the Lord, because Naomi was she was away from God, and we'll see that in just a little bit with her attitude. We'll find that when they got home, there was a relative by the name of Boaz, and he becomes their kinsman redeemer, which is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we find there is a reward. So this morning, really, I want us to show that there is a way back to God. When we get away from the Lord, when we falter and fail and sin in our life, I'm glad God doesn't throw us on a heap of no goods. I'm glad He doesn't cast us aside. There is a way that we can return unto Him and then have the reward that God has in store for us. But I want us to understand that before there is an open rebellion against God, there is an inward failure of the heart. This that took place in this family didn't happen all of a sudden. It was in a process of time that all of a sudden then that makes itself known, and the rebellion is open there against the Lord. And so as it was with Naomi and Abimelech, her husband, sometimes it is that way with us. God knows our heart. God knows our failure. But if we continue on in that failure in our soul and our heart, there will be a result of open rebellion against the Lord. Here we find in these verses this morning, now if you'll turn back to the first part of the chapter, we'll notice some background of what took place in this family's life. There is a famine that takes place in the land. There is a lack of food. We all know what a famine is. And the scripture says in verse number 1, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he, his wife, his two sons." So here they are in Bethlehem, Judah, and there is a famine. And we find, and we know that according to the scripture here, it was during when the judges were ruling. God had different places, different ways of ruling His people. Now they're in that process, and the book of Ruth is written right after, or is in our Bible right after the book of Judges, that gives the names and the activities of those judges that were ruling the country of Israel, the land of Judah. And during the rule of Judges, Israel suffered serious famine time and time again. And it was always in conjunction with their service unto the Lord. It was always in conjunction with their living for God, accepting God, or denying and rejecting the things that God had told them to do. And so here we find in these verses that there's a famine in the land. The book of Leviticus, chapter 26, tells us this: "But if ye will not hearken unto me," God says, "and will not do all the commandments, I also will do this to you." So God says, if you don't do what I ask, this is what I will do unto you. I will even appoint over you terror and consumption, and cause sorrow of heart. And ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. God says, if you don't do what I tell you to do, God says, you can sow your seed, you can sow your food, but you're not going to consume it, you're not going to take it. Your enemy will be blessed, and they will have it because of your rebellion against the Word of God. Now, on the other side of that, there is in Leviticus chapter 26 also, verse number 3 through 5, it says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. So here's a contrast. Verse 14, 16 says you don't do them. Verse 3 and through 5, same chapter, says if you do them, he says, then will I give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase. Ye shall eat your bread to be full and dwell in your land safely. So here's the promise of God. If you do what I tell you to do, there'll be plenty. You'll sow your seed and you'll eat and you'll have plenty and you'll not suffer and you'll have safety. That's pretty easy to understand. God says, if you do your part, I'll do mine. He said, but if you don't do that, he said, then your enemies, you sow your seed, you do the same thing, and there'll be a famine. There'll not be the food for you. So God promised them that there would always be plenty of food in the land as long as they obeyed his word. He promised that the disobedient would inevitably bring a chastisement upon them. Because of the famine, this man named Abimelech, he decided he's going to migrate out of the land of Bethlehem, Judah, and he's going to the land of Moab. That's a bad place to go. Moab is not a good place for a child of God to be. Moab is not where we ought to be. Moab is that land of maybe it looks like it has plenty, but there you're going to have a lot of problems with all the plenty that you have. In taking this initiative to go to Moab, that foreign country, away from Bethlehem, Judah, Naomi's husband, and she steps out of the will of God and go to a place where God tells them they're not to go. And if the famine was a judgment on the land of Israel, as it seemingly maybe is because of their rebellion against God, and under the judges they rebelled much against the Lord. And now while they're there, there's a famine in the land, and so they decide, we're just going to leave because we have heard that in the land of Moab, there's plenty over there. I'll guarantee you this morning, there's plenty outside that door for the child of God to enhance himself in, but it may not be what you need. It may not be really what you want when you get it. And so the scripture says here that they step out of the will of God, and the judgment of the Lord is upon the people of God because they, according to scripture, God says, I'll give you good if you do what I tell you. And it's seemingly here they did not do that, and so there's a famine in the land. In the book of Psalm number 34, verse number 9, it says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So there are those that have want. There are those that have needs in their life. But God says, not with my people. He tells us in not only verse 9 and 10 of Psalm 34, but verse number 17. The Bible says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. I'm glad this morning I've got a deliverer. His name is Jesus Christ. I'm glad when I'm in trouble, I can cry unto him. It may be trouble of heart, it may be trouble of soul, it may be trouble in my body and my flesh, there may be disease that comes upon us, there may be struggles that come to our mind and to our livelihood, but I'm glad, thank God, he knows where I am and he can help me and he can take care of every need that I have because he's promised that I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And David says here, he says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry, and they may suffer affliction, they may suffer trouble, but the Bible says the Lord shall deliver them out of all of those things. He is our present help in time of trouble. He is our deliverer when struggles come to our life. If we were to go around the auditorium this morning and we was just to say, would you be honest? Do you have a problem, a struggle in your life that you'd want to share? Probably, I would say probably 100% of us would have something. If not, it'd be a high percentage if we'd be honest and say, here's my struggle. Here's my problem. Here's my need. And God knows it. And so He is there to help us to get out of that. Some may argue that Elimelech maybe was a wise man to take his family out of famine and to bring them into a land of plenty. That's on the physical side. We can say, well, he maybe made a right choice, but that does not make it right choice spiritually. It does not make it right just because circumstances do certain things to us. They took their family, they left a famine-stricken area, and they went to a land where there was sufficient food. But this Jewish family had no need and had really no reason to go where the heathen rule. They had no right. God had told them to stay separate from the people of the world and the world that despised the God of heaven. Elimelech should have known, surely, that God was able to supply his need. But yet he took it upon himself. He and Naomi, they said, we're going to go here where it's much easier. They leave Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, Judah, you know what that word means? It means house of bread. So they're leaving what God says, here's the house where bread will be supplied. And they go to Moab, and that word Moab means waste, nothingness, and sour grapes. Why in this world would a people of God trade a house of bread for sour grapes? Why would they do that? Because what they saw made them think that it's better on the other side. We all have heard the little saying that the grass is always greener, where? On the other side. Well, that's what Elimelech and Naomi thought. We're starving here. We're hungry here. But over in Moab, and by the way, it wasn't a too far distance to go to Moab. I looked it up one time. I forget how many miles. It's not a long way from Bethlehem to Moab. But it's not a long way to get out of the will of God. It happens pretty quickly. We don't have to take a long trip. Psalm number 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Do you believe this morning? I know we do. We believe that God can supply our needs. God can take care of His people. David stated it this way. He said, I was young, now I'm old. And he said, I've never seen God's people begging bread. It just simply means God has the ability to take care of every need that I have. If I have a physical need, guess who can heal me? The Lord. If I have a spiritual need, guess who can take care of that? The Lord. If I have a heart problem, spiritually, God can take care of that. He said, I'm able to supply. I think, the best I can remember, maybe Moab was 25 or 30 miles from Bethlehem, Judah. And maybe up to 50 miles to get inside the country. The distance, however, is not the problem. It's not the miles that is the problem here. It's the mind. It's Elimelech and Naomi's feelings. they have departed from the things and the place where God told them that they ought to be. So it's not the miles, but it is the mind that gives us the problem. So there's a famine. There's the background. That's why they began to think about famine, problems, struggles. Well, I'll tell you what, the devil, first time you have a struggle in your heart and in your life spiritually, the devil, he's the first one that says, why don't you just do something different? God's not going to help you anyway. God's not going to deal with it. God's not going to help you spiritually. So just do something different. So there's a famine. This family, Elimelech, his name means my God is king. What a wonderful name. My God is king. Naomi, I've already given you that. Her name means sweet or pleasant. They have two children. Melion, that name means sickly. So probably maybe he wasn't the most healthy of the family. And then they have another boy by the name of Chilion. And his name means pining or wasting away. So probably neither one of these boys were very, very healthy or very physically fit. So immediately they began to think, we've got to take care of our boy. We've got to take care of these children that are sickly. And so this family is come to a decision in their life. We're going to leave the house of bread and we're going to leave Bethlehem, Judah. And we're going to Moab where the grass is a whole lot greener over there. There's food there. So you have the famine. You have the family. But you have the failure of this family. They refuse. If it is the Lord bringing chastisement upon this country, they are refusing that chastisement and they're running from that. And when they go away from that, they think they can get out of the place where God will chastise them. Sort of sounds like Jonah. When Jonah got the message from the Lord to go to Nineveh, Jonah, he said, I'm going to pay my fare and I'm going to Tarsus. And that's the total opposite direction of where God told him to go. And he said, I'll just get out of the presence of the Lord. Boy, isn't that smart. How can you get out of the presence of someone that is everywhere you go? That's what Jonah did. And that's what Elimelech and Naomi were trying to do. And so here, there's a failure in this family to submit to the chastisement. They rebelled against it and they ran from it. Proverbs tells us, as my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary in his correction. Hebrews 12:5 says, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. There are times when God rebukes us. I don't know about you. If you're a Christian, you know that there's been times in your life God said, and he rebukes us, he corrects us, as a father doth his son. You don't have to have some spiritual person go say, well, I wonder what bad thing they've done. We know what God's doing. I've never had the correction of the Lord in my life that I had to have somebody tell me that what he's doing. I knew what God was doing. I knew when my father corrected me and I knew what it was for. I didn't like it and didn't agree with it sometime, but I knew what it was and I knew where it was coming from. I knew all the details about it because I was the guilty one. And same thing spiritually, when I get out of the will of God and I get away from the good things of God and the Lord brings judgment and chastisement on me, I know why. I'm the recipient of it because I'm the cause of it. And so, here we find a famine. Find a family. We see their failure. And there's always a fruit of failure. There's always a result of failing and rebelling against the Lord. Let's go back to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. They went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Verse number 1 tells us. Gives us his name and the boys' names in verse number 2 and Naomi. And the Bible says at the end of verse number 2, and they came into the country of Moab. Notice the next three words. and continued there. Sojourn and continuing are not the same. They go in their heart and in their mind, we're just going to go there a little while. Just until we can get some food. We're just going to do this for a little season. And then we'll get back to where we ought to be. And so they're going to travel through. The word sojourn means they're traveling through. You look it up. If you sojourn, you're moving on. But then that next verse says, and continued there. The word continued means we stay where we are. So they went out, maybe with good intentions, but when they got there, the good things of Moab, and the plenty of Moab, just got a hold on them, and they stayed. Their first mistake was going. Their second mistake was staying. If they'd never gone, they wouldn't have wanted to stay. If they never left the house of bread, they'd never seen what's over on the other side. And so these first two or three verses, first two verses, tell us what they intended to do and what they did. And they were different. Verse number 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. It doesn't give us any details. Doesn't tell us how fast, doesn't tell us when. I think it's at the beginning of their so-called sojourn. I think when they settled down and took roots, God said, that's enough. And so, verse number 3 says that Naomi's husband died, and here she is left with two sons. Here's a widow, has two boys. Now, verse number 4. Again, time frame is not given here. Here's another mistake. Here's another failure in this family. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. That is totally against the will of God. The scripture told the Jew to stay separate, to stay away from the Moabitish people. God says they're not to come in and mingle with the people of God. So it all comes back to this decision, we're going to Moab. If they hadn't been there, there wouldn't have been no ladies for those two boys to marry, Moabitish ladies. And so they take them wives. One's name is Orpah, the other's name is Ruth. And they dwell there about 10 years. Now the 10-year frame there is, I believe, after they get married. After they marry those two girls. They go to sojourn. They go to travel through. They settle down. Elimelech dies. The two boys marry two girls. And they continue there 10 years. Now in that process of time, God's still dealing with this family. I believe all because of the rebellion of their heart. He tells us here in the next verse. Verse number 5. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the women were left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited, what had He done? He had blessed His people. They had heard now in Moab, some 30, 40 miles away, that God is blessing where they used to be. And they're not experiencing any blessing at all. And so, Naomi's husband is dead at the first of that journey. Now, they dwell there 10 years. Her two boys have died. And here are three widows. Three widows that have a real physical problem. This is the fruit of their rebellion. This is the result of turning away from God and not doing what God had told them to do. He led his family. His family, they all went astray. He's out of the will of God, and they complacently, they just let their boys marry out of the will of God. And that's why it's so very important. I'll just throw this in. It's so very important for young boys and young girls to make sure who they marry are the ones that God has for you. Because if you don't, you're going to have a struggle from the time you say I do until it's all over. And so here we find these boys, they marry out of the will of God. They marry outside of Judaism. At the end of 10 years, the boy that's sickly, the boy that's pining, they die. And here's three ladies. Two of them young, one of them a little older. But they're all equal there because they are widows. I said a while ago I didn't really know where Naomi repented. I have a problem with her life. She had gotten so involved in things around her that she lost any kind of spirituality at all. And by the way, that does happen. It doesn't just happen in this family. It can happen in my family. We find that Naomi is the backslidden widow. Orpha is the one that is the backward widow that goes backward to where she was. And Ruth becomes the blessed widow because she follows the God of the Hebrews. These decisions were made by these three widows. Can you imagine Naomi encouraging her daughters-in-law to return to the home of their pagan gods? And that's exactly what she did. Have you ever heard, I've never heard this. Have you ever heard somebody try to talk somebody out about being saved? I haven't. That's what Naomi did. Have you ever heard somebody trying to talk somebody out of doing right? No. What kind of problems did Naomi have? She had one main problem. The problem she had was a heart problem. Notice these next verses. We'll quickly read them. And she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return to the country of Moab, for she heard that in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. Now while they're heading back toward Judah, verse number 8, and Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. And the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. Go back to your mother's house. Go back to your pagan god is really what she's saying. Can you imagine? Here's two daughter-in-laws that have been true and faithful and had been with this family, and now here Naomi says, well, I'm going to go back home. But you all just stay back here. You don't need to go with me. Where was she going? She was going back to Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, where they could have a relationship with the God of heaven. But you all stay here. That doesn't make, you know what's wrong with her? She's backslidden. She's just out of the will of God. She has a heart problem. And a heart problem finally manifests itself in a speech problem and an action problem. Verse number 9. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. We want to go with you, these two girls said. Verse 11. Naomi certainly has not repented here. She's changed her mind about where she needs to live. But repentance is more than a change of mind, by the way. She certainly hadn't changed her thoughts toward what is right and wrong. She says in verse 11, and Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there not yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husband? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, and if I have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them? You see, only thing that Naomi was thinking about, as it has been from the time they left, was physical good things in life. She had no thoughts of spirituality. The tradition in the Jew was if a husband died, then the next in line would be the husband of that wife who was left. She said, I have no more. If I was to have a child tonight, would you tarry? Would you wait for that next husband to come? She's only thinking about the flesh. And so many Christians this morning, and me included so many times, is the only thing we think about is what is good for me. What do I want? What will help me? What will encourage my life? What can instill in my life the good things that I want from the world? And I never give a thought about the things of God. And you know what that is? That's open rebellion against the Lord. That is backsliding. Now you're sitting there looking at me and I'm looking at you, and this is not an easy message to preach and it's not an easy message to take, but we find ourselves there so many times. I'd like to preach on John 3:16. But we better face the issues of life that it is important to be in the will of God. Here we find that Naomi has shown insensitivity towards spiritual things. She expresses no appreciation of serving God. She only reveals how far she's gone away from God in those 10 years. How could she do this? How could she live? How could she live with herself? Here's two girls that's part of her family. We that have children and they're married, their spouses are part of our family. And how could she say, go back to the heathen? Go back to the wicked. Go back to your lifestyle. Go back to the way you were. Go find a husband over there. Much better than what I could do. No spirituality at all whatsoever. She acknowledges in her words that I just don't care. No wonder when she comes back, what we read this morning, and I'm skipping so much, I just don't have time. No wonder when she comes back to the city, they ask the question, is this Naomi? 10 years had done a job on her physically. So these two girls are instructed to go back home. One goes. I believe the blood of that girl is on the hand of Naomi. She stood before God. Why did you do that? But the other one, by the name of Ruth, and here's the bright spot of the whole story. Here's this one Ruth. She not only shows strong affection and attachment to Naomi, but she shows attraction to the God of Naomi. She acknowledges that God is Jehovah. Look at verse, chapter 1, verse 15. Verse 14, they weep. Orpha leaves. Ruth cleaves unto to Naomi. And here's what Ruth says. Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and to her gods. Return there after her. Naomi says, your sister has gone. Why don't you just go too? Verse 16, Ruth. Wonderful, wonderful verse. She says, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Ruth was smarter than Naomi. Really, she was. And so she expresses acknowledgement of Jehovah God. She commits herself to Him. She commits herself to His will. She is obedient to the laws and devoutly was going to serve Him. She renounces her false religion by doing that. We have a missionary that's coming in our mission conference. He's a missionary to the Jew. I read his testimony. I had a phone call from a friend of mine. He said he's great. And I read his testimony. He said, when I got saved, he was raised in a Jewish family. He got saved at age 17. And he said, my family pronounced me as dead. They rejected him. And this is exactly what Ruth does. She renounces her family's religion. And they may pronounce her as dead. She professes her faith in the one true God. I'm going to follow God. And she follows her mother-in-law, Naomi, as she returns to her home in Bethlehem, Judah, to the house of bread and to her God. That's the high point, really, of most of the book of Ruth. She came to an understanding that the God of Naomi, wonder where she found out about the God of Naomi. Sometimes my mind asks questions that I don't have the answer. Wonder how she found out about it. It wasn't from Naomi. Naomi said, go back to your house, go back to your home, go back to your mother, go back to your gods, go back to the men of that city. She didn't find out about God from Naomi. She must have found out about God from her husband that died. Where did he find out? Now, he found out because he lived in the land of Judah long enough to know. Knew what was right and wrong. And he tells his wife about the good things of Judah. And she says, don't ask me to leave you because I'm going to follow you. Don't ask me to renounce your God because your God is going to be my God. What a wonderful, important place in the life of this young lady called Ruth. I'm going to stop there because I've got about 9 more pages of notes. And I knew it wouldn't work. Boy, I'm glad there's a day in my life that I said to my preacher or to my church or to my family, your God's going to be my God. I'm glad I came to a point in my life that I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Did I have to? No. Was I required to? No. Did I sign a card? No. I just believed what I had been taught. And I'm glad there's a day in my life that I can say, your God is my God. I know Him. I trust Him. I wonder this morning, I don't know anybody's heart in here except mine. I wonder this morning, have you ever come to a real understanding that our God is your God? Decision time. Choice time. Belief time. Now could Ruth have said, I'll go back. I'll be like Orpha. Orpha went back. We didn't hear nothing else about her. Not one word. she goes back and she probably remarries and she probably has a family. She probably lives her life and she dies, probably without God. Because here's a backslidden woman that says, go back to where you were. Here's a backslidden family that said, we don't want Judah anymore. We'll take out here what the world has. And that girl goes back to her home and probably dies without God, dies lost without knowing Jehovah. And here's Ruth. Could she have done that? Why, sure she could have. But she had seen something somewhere along the line. In those 10 years that they wasn't going to be there, she saw something somewhere out of either, I forget which one married which, but one of them's sickly and one of them's pining. They're both very weak physically. But she saw something somewhere that made her know that what's back in Moab is not what I need. You and I this morning, as a Christian, Moab doesn't have a thing we need. Moab, you can't find God there. You can't find the Lord there because that's a heathen world. Read about the land of Moab. They were terrible, heathenistic people. Ungodly. And here's a lady says, go back. Really, she was saying, I don't want you to go with me. I think it was some personal things there she knew she couldn't fulfill. And when she gets back to Bethlehem, Judah, and I'll say this in close, when she gets back to Bethlehem, Judah, all her friends come to her. When she and this one young lady comes into town, they don't know who she is. And then they say, is this... And this is a shocking statement from them. Is this really Naomi? Have you ever saw a picture of somebody down the road and said, is that really them? I have. Probably some people said that about me. Is that really? They don't look nothing like they used to look. That's what they were saying about Naomi. You took a snapshot of Naomi when she left and a picture when Naomi came back, you'd probably see a vast difference in her countenance. Remember now, she's lost her husband. She's lost a son. She's lost another son. She's lost it all. She goes out. And she makes the statement. Now remember, they left because there was a famine. They were hungry. In the last part of Ruth chapter 1, Naomi makes a testimony here. She said, I went out full. No, Naomi, you left because you're empty. She said, no, I left full. I had everything I wanted. I had my husband. I had my children. I had everything I wanted. I left full. But she said, I've come back empty. Now they left to be full. They never did get full. And by the way, you and I, when we leave the presence of the Lord, we never will get full. Never. And we'll come back. There's a way back. Thank God there's a way back. But we're not the same as we were when we left. Time makes a toll on us. What's the old song? Time has made a change in me. Time without God will really make a change. For when you get, I just can't stop, when you get away from the Lord, those things that you used to hold true and dear and very important, they lose their emphasis. Our convictions will change because of those that's around us will change us. May God help us to stay in the house of bread. Stay at the place where God, wherever that is, whatever the will of God is in our life, may God help us to stay in the perfect will of the Lord. Because if we don't, We may go search for something better. We want to get filled up on that. Boy, we may come back and say, I was pretty full, and I'm empty now. I think she probably repented right there. It wasn't when she decided. She went back to Bethlehem because she heard there's bread. She's always wanting to take care of the flesh. But when she got there, she came to the realization, I'm a changed woman. Nobody knows me. Nobody recognizes me. What in the world has happened? And then she amazingly comes to the conclusion, God, first time you hear that out of her mouth, God has testified against me. God has afflicted me, and I'm empty. In the next few chapters of the book of Ruth, wonderful experiences, and we may do some more things in this. Wonderful things happens to Naomi and Ruth because one day she realized, I need to get back to the house of bread. God has dealt with me. I'm here now. There's always a way home. Praise the Lord. He doesn't throw us away. Let's stand together this morning.